The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now it's time for our Friday Forum when we look back at some of the events of the week normally, but today we're going to be kind of looking forward a bit because we've got two critical elections happening, our own general election, and of course the battle between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump in the United States. We're joined by Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times, Regina Doherty, former social protection minister, member of the European Parliament for the Dublin constituency for Fine Gael, and Louisa Riley, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Fingal, Sinn Féin spokesperson on workers' rights, enterprise, trade and employment. Welcome one and all. So, Louise, you're in the Parliament at the moment. What's it like, the last days of the Roman Empire, as you count down the clock?
The last days of the Roman Empire, I like that. It's like working in a stationery factory, actually, at the moment, because every time you walk past someone, me included, anytime anyone passes me, they have a box with leaflets or supplies, whatever. Everyone is getting ready. I think at this stage now, to be fair, people are a little bit getting a bit weary of the speculation. It's a bit like, that's, we know it's going to happen.
So name the date. Is your best guess the 29th of November?
That is my best guess, yes. Yeah. I think, to be fair, when you're talking to people, and Pat and Regina will be talking to people as well, when you're, well, perhaps Regina now has been authorised to give us the date here. We'll see in a minute. But when you're talking to people, the 29th is that kind of date that everyone, there's sort of a bit of a consensus around the 29th.
I have deep sympathy for everybody in Louise's position at the moment. And I think it's fair to say that Leinster House has been a bit jumpy for the last couple of months. I think they'll be put out of their misery fairly soon, either this day fortnight or the day before, which is Thursday the 7th. Now, if the election is called on either of those days, so we know the Dáil's not sitting next week, but it comes back the following week.
There's a bit of business that has to be done.
There's a couple of bills that have to go through. The finance bill is the one that lots of people have been talking about, including the Taoiseach, but there's also a couple of other bills, the appropriations bill. There's some votes for supplementary estimates that have to go through, and there's a bill for the Houses of the Oireachtas Commission to authorise its budget for the next 3 years. So all those have to go through, but they will go through in a matter of hours.
A number of things are falling by the wayside, which they had hoped to get through were to be a February or early March election. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, things like the mental health bill, the defamation bill, those were, I think, desirable rather than essential. And they're not going to go. Now it's up to the next government, whoever forms that, to put a motion to the Dáil to reinstate them on the order paper. And, you've got to think that that's not unlikely, whoever is in government. But I think you're looking at the election being called on the 7th or the 8th. That's Thursday or Friday, the week after next, a three-week campaign. Although those two dates, if you look at the absolute calendars, because this is governed by law, if you look at the calendars, those two dates are... You could call an election for either the 6th or the 29th, the 6th of December or the 29th of November on either of those two dates. Once you go beyond the 8th, you have to go to the 6th of December. But the expectation of everybody, and I share it, is that it'll be called on Friday the 8th for the, or possibly Thursday the 7th, because there's a slight complication. Sorry, pal, I'll finish in a sec, but the Taoiseach is due to go to an informal summit on the 8th in Hungary of EU leaders. Now, I've asked government buildings if he's scheduled to go to that. If he is going to that, then my guess would be called on the 7th. If he's not going to that, it will be, I would imagine, the 8th for the 29th.
Regina, now you're not
fighting
this campaign. You've had your own campaign and been very successful. But what does it mean once the starting gun is fired? Does it mean you're now allowed to climb up lampposts? Is that really what happens?
I think effectively once the writ is moved, then, candidates are allowed then officially put their literature indoors in earnest, looking for number ones as opposed to in the weeks beforehand where we all try and just put one as in if I am the best sort of message.
Just get in touch.
You try and find creative ways around. But the most important thing I think at that particular point is that the posters go up on the polls and people really know that it's game on.
Opening of nominations as well, so that when the writ is moved, and then you've 7 days from the opening of nominations, so that any selection conventions that remain would have to be held then
ASAP.
in that week. Because nominations then will
and
close.
Who has to put in the nomination paper? The candidate, him or herself?
You're the agent, yourself and your agent.
So they're all looking at Lanzarote in Dublin Central at the moment to make sure that Gerry Hutch may or may not be liberated by the Spanish police to put in his papers.
if it is his intention to run. I'm somewhat sceptical about it. We were just chatting about this outside. I think perhaps a more significant intervention is Claire Daly's entry into that race there. But I suppose, look, it remains to be seen what happens with Gerry Hutch and whether it is a coincidence that he's just been arrested and is going to be brought before a Spanish court or not. I simply don't know.
Now, we didn't press you on the date, Regina, so...
So I think Pat probably outlined it fairly well. The earliest it can be is the 29th, given that we're not going to pass the finance bill until that week of the 4th of November. And then remember, the Senate has to pass it the following week. Now, given that the Senate can't make amendments to the finance bill other than asking for reports on particular topics, I have to assume that if the Dáil has been dissolved on the 7th, that the Senate won't be able to take any amendments on the finance bill this year, reports or otherwise. So they'll just rubber stamp it through. So that obviously is the earliest, but as I keep being told, it's the choice of the Taoiseach.
And Dara O'Brien,
obviously.
It isn't. It's the choice of the Taoiseach to ask the President to dissolve the Dáil, but the setting of the date is a job for Dara O'Brien.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's still, though, in the gift of a couple of people to name the date.
Yeah.
Even though the input will have come in the Green Party and Fianna Fáil. Yeah.
Well, we assume that the selection of the date, the calling of the election, the selection of the date will be agreed between the party leaders.
Do you find it incredible when they say, we didn't talk about a date, we just agreed that it was going to happen before Christmas? I mean, does anybody believe that?
I think at this stage it doesn't matter because we know it's going to be soon. What I would say when you were listing off the legislation there, Pat, and the mental health bill is one, and I do think it's a shame that's not going to go through. I also think it's a shame that Mark Ward's bill, which was a short bill, which would have given effect to one of the elements, wasn't taken on board but was deferred on the basis of the government going to bring their own legislation through, but that wasn't done. But also the Occupied Territories Bill, and I know that we have sought and others have as well, that we would sit over the recess to get the Occupied Territories Bill passed. My understanding is that the legal advice has now been received. The amendments, as the I think I was listening to Micheál Martin, said that the amendments that are needed, you know, are now very clear that he believes or whatever are needed. And I know that there is a cross-party willingness to get the legislation across the line. So I would like to see us sit over the recess.
Isn't the government nailing its colours to the mast really today with the visit of the Lebanese Prime Minister to Dublin?
Yeah, he'll be in government buildings in the afternoon, but... I still get some nervousness from the government side about actually doing the Occupied Territories Bill. I think it would be interesting to see how quickly that process is done when there is a new government and a new Dáil. If it's made up of the same parties, I could see it going more slowly than some people would like.
But Pat, you know the history of the bill. I mean, it was originally brought in. Yes, and it was tabled by Fianna Fáil. You know, so I don't understand if there weren't any issues that there might be now. And I absolutely respect the need to get the opinion of the Attorney General. But my understanding is that's been received. And while it might take some time, but because of recess, we actually have time. There isn't a schedule, so there's not normal business to be done. So I think it would be possible. I'm not saying any of this would be easy.
Likely, yeah.
But I think it would be possible. However, that is in the gift of...
Oh, you're absolutely right. It would be possible. Mm-hmm. But my point is that just based on conversations with some people I've had in government about it this week, I'm sceptical that the government is as full square behind it comes to shove.
I think I would share your scepticism as well.
Now, Regina, will you be involved in the campaign?
Yep. I'm actually the Director of Elections for Dublin North West, where I grew up. But... I suppose
the turn of Noel Rock.
Yes, the Rock is back. We're all very excited and delighted because I think his heart is truly in politics. I think we've seen that over the last number of years. And his popularity has grown despite not being a TD for the last while.
Maybe because of it.
And I remember him ruling out absolutely emphatically never running again.
Well, now you see, I can be very persuasive, Pat. We can be very persuasive. No, I'm really delighted he's back.
Politics is a lifelong affliction, Pat.
Yeah, but also we've got some great new candidates, as I'm sure lots of parties do.
But isn't that particularly the uphill, around Dublin, isn't that the uphill battle for Fine Gael to try and get... as well as brand recognition from Simon Harris being imposed on these new candidates, just their own name recognition.
To be honest with you, the energy that has been displayed by most of them who are in the main long-term standing councillors and so have name recognition in their own areas is phenomenal. What's really phenomenal is that when you go out with Simon Harris, the response from the ordinary public to him. And I think that combination of what genuinely is his energy, which is hard to behold, and the new energy that we have with some 30 plus new candidates. We have a driving force of a team that really is
okay,
intent
and I want
on
to
returning to
put
government
the corollary
with the goodwill of the people.
To you, Louise, about Mary Lou and the difficulties that she perhaps is having at the moment, having to make those apologies. And, you know, when you're explaining you're losing, and a perception maybe that she doesn't have the vigour and energy that she once had.
And to be fair to Mary Lou, she has spoken publicly about the last year that was tough. But, you know, when you're a campaigner, and Mary Lou is, elections bring out the absolute best in you, and the energy is there, the enthusiasm is there. I was down myself, I was at an election launch last night, I was at a selection convention there the week before. The energy is there, the enthusiasm is there. And I also think, you know, we have a unique opportunity to deliver a government not led by either Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael for the first time in the history of the state. And I think that is something that is very much worth getting out and campaigning for. Right. And that's certainly what we
okay.
will be doing.
Pat Leahy, the likelihood of a government led by Sinn Féin has, on the face of the polls, receded.
Yeah, and certainly the likelihood of a government led by Sinn Féin that doesn't include Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael seems to be a distant one at this stage. I mean, Sinn Féin, I suppose, has had two sets of problems in the last 12 months. It has had that slide in the polls that we saw, which culminated in a very disappointing local and European elections. And then there have been the recent scandals, which have, I think, hampered their ability to talk about the things
okay,
that they
I,
want
I'm thinking of polling.
To
you
do.
See, you can do national polls, and it's a bit like looking at America. You really have to look at the swing states, not at the national poll. Mm. In the same way for Sinn Féin, there may be areas where they're incredibly strong, but when you average out over the whole country, it shows weakness. But there may be individual constituencies which offset the losses
100%,
in other
yeah,
areas.
Yeah, 100%. But, you know, the national picture is the sum of all the local pictures. And while, you know, say, you know, there may be nuances there that become evident, you know, during the campaign and when the results are counted, such as, you know, Fine Gael's lack of incumbent candidates that are standing, because we know that is an electoral advantage to be an incumbent, you know. So things like that will manifest themselves as the campaign goes out. But the sum of the local pictures can't contradict the national picture. And the national picture, insofar as it is described by the polls at the moment, is one where you would have to say, where 12 months ago, if we were sitting here having this discussion, we would say that the most likely outcome of the next general election is that Sinn Féin is in government in some shape or form. Whereas now, 12 months on, the most likely outcome of this election is that Sinn Féin are not in government. But, and it's a very big but, and people should bear this in mind, I think, you know, as we head towards the campaign, the most distinctive feature of Irish politics at the moment is its volatility. To an extent, that's mirrored overseas. But you look at what happened in the last election campaign, that huge swing towards Sinn Féin, which was led by Mary Lou, who proved herself to be, you know, a really brilliant campaigner in the course of that. Now, no two election campaigns are ever the same, but that swing in one direction, that is a feature of recent elections. It went against Sinn Féin, the local and European elections at the start of the summer. So we can expect a swing in some direction. As to which way it goes, it's very difficult to predict at this stage.
I think I disagree with you, Pat, and I agree with you, Pat. I think it's probably, as opposed to this being a national election, despite that it is a national election, I think it might be more seen as individual, nearly local elections, notwithstanding the fact that we have new candidates. There are some Sinn Féin TDs that came in with two quotas or one and a half quotas the last time that might actually be struggling to hold their seats this time. So I think individual constituencies are going to come more into the play than, you know, than the national picture that Sinn Féin is on 20, Fine Gael is on 20, whatever.
And I think
five.
If we look back to October 2019, we would have seen Fine Gael on 27, I think it was 26 or 27, Sinn Féin on 13 or 14, and that completely turned in the course of the election. And campaigns are interesting, and they do take on a life of their own. But what I would say is this, you know, for all the talk of, you know, new energy, good energy, bad energy, whatever energy, there's 50% of the Dáil team are not willing to fight the next election, led by Simon Harris. Like, that is going to be an issue. Now, I completely understand, in some instances, local councillors with a profile in their own LEA will run. But really,
yeah, but don't forget,
you know,
the last
you're looking
time
at 50%
you
of
guys
people.
In Sinn Féin got candidates elected that no one had ever heard of. Mm. One of them, as you remember, famously was on holiday. That was.
But again, you're talking about people who would have been councillors and community activists, and they might have had a national profile, but would most definitely have had a local profile.
Yeah, I mentioned Patricia Ryan, who you lost now, was on holiday. Imagine being on holiday for your election.
I mean, it's kind of freakish, but it goes to show the extent of the political importance of the wave that goes in yeah. one direction. Now, I'd be really surprised if we saw many Sinn Féin's TDs who pulled in two quotas the last time, or nearly two quotas, losing their seats. I think the real problem for Sinn Féin is that they're not now likely to bring in second seats yeah. In the constituencies. And so those gains that Sinn Féin would need if it was to lead the next government, there seems little prospect of very many of them.
But again, these were all the things that we heard in October 2019. And then the very same people that said them afterwards were like, well, now you should have run more candidates.
You've had
elections are quite a volatile thing,
Louise,
and they do take on a
You've had a lot
of
difficulties, which we're not going to rehearse again, but all the stuff, you know, the different scandals, one on top of the other.
And what
it's bound to have a chipping off
and
effect
again,
of your support.
And you know what? We have, I was at a meeting of the Dublin Cúige there on Wednesday, our own organisation. And, you know, people are up for this. They are ready to get out. And, you know, most of us, myself included, are already out on the doors, already out on the campaign trail. We're just waiting for the Taoiseach to give us the date.
Going to be fired.
Finally, in the last few seconds we have available, just the American election, it will be over, done and dusted by the time. Well, we presume it will.
So,
who
yeah.
knows? There'll
yeah.
be more protests and court applications and so on. But the world could look very different by the time we have our general election.
I think that's the fear. And particularly when you look at it from a European perspective, obviously the outcome of a Harris presidency versus the Trump presidency would augur a very, very different mood within the European confines, not just from an economic perspective, but from a defence perspective. So it'll be interesting to see. But like I was listening to what you played earlier on, we're in mad season territory stuff yeah. when we're talking about spanking 15-year-old kids.
It has been an incredibly divisive campaign.
Yeah.
It really has.
I mean, I think it could affect the election here in this way. I mean, first of all, I mean, if there's a Trump victory, then a Trump presidency will have, you know, massive implications for Europe, and that will not be something that leaves Ireland untouched. And just in terms of dynamics of the election campaign here, if there is a Trump victory, I think there is a possibility that you get a sort of a flight to safety amongst voters now. You know, maybe that sense will have dissipated three weeks later. But I just think that it may lead people to be reluctant to change if there is a
conservative. We're looking for a Harris-Harris on both sides.
Okay.
I would say I don't envy the Americans with the choice that they have to make. I generally tend towards the Democrats in my own politics. But in relation to Gaza, their behaviour has been absolutely deplorable. I really do not envy the American electorate.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much. Last voice there was Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Fingal, Sinn Féin spokesperson on workers' rights, enterprise, trade and employment. Regina Doherty, former Social Protection Minister, MEP for the Dublin constituency for Fine Gael, and Pat Leahy, political editor with the Irish Times. That's all we have time for. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to in the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.